Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have the two final episodes of Culinary Class Wars. Become one with the tofu. Let everything else go. Let's fall under the tofu spell together and dig in. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great. I got tofu on the mind, and I also have objects coming out of orifices.
Okay, way to start us off.
It's Friday morning. What else do you need to wake yourself up? We had another bean in the ear last night.
No.
If you had listened previously, my daughter had pushed a black bean into her ear at school, an uncooked bean. Turns out she did it again.
I thought they removed the beans from...
That's what they told me. Removed it from the class, and then they felt like, well, it's been a few months or a few weeks. She must have matured.
Maybe she learned her lesson.
Yeah. No, they don't know my daughter.
So bean again in the ear. But this time, did you do the super glue in the ear by yourself?
My husband was able to do it. I was actually doing the ear picking for my kids.
Oh, and that's how you found it?
Yeah, and she hadn't told us. She actually had mentioned in the bath, I feel like there's a bean in my ear. And I was like, I just ignored it because, you know, sometimes you feel like you have a bean in your ear. Okay, fine. And sure enough, there was a bean.
Oh my gosh. I like how she's like, I think there is, as if she didn't herself stick it in there.
So we kept asking her, when did this happen?
Uh-huh.
She goes, 3 years ago.
3 years.
Which, you know, for a 3-year-old, she has no concept of time. And we kept saying, you won't get in trouble. We just need to know how long it's been in there. She goes, long time ago. And we're like, was it from the last time? And we just didn't notice there was another one deep down there. I don't know, but... It came out and it was like, you know, cracked. You know when a bean starts to expand, it starts to crack out of its black shell.
Oh, no.
Anyway, that was that. She also turns out to have a dead tooth in the front because she fell in the bath months ago and the nerve had died. So her tooth was gray. I took her to the dentist and they're like, oh, yeah, this is a dead tooth.
You were just watching it slowly turn black and...
Well, it happens very gradually. And he's like, this is an injury from a long time ago.
Oh.
It takes a while for it to show up like this.
So he had to pull it.
He did not pull it, but he said it'll likely fall out soon. Oh. He's like, we're not going to pull it because, you know, you don't want to prematurely pull something, but it'll fall out and then it won't grow back for another 4 years.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the problem with these injury tooth removals is that it's earlier than the adult tooth is supposed to come out. So her pictures for the next... 3 to 4 years. It's just gonna
either will be just a gray tooth, like she has a nicotine addiction. She's been smoking too much on one side, or she will have no tooth.
We also had a tooth come out in our house yesterday, and we had set a very bad precedent with our older daughter because one time she asked the tooth fairy for candy. But she was very vague. She's like, any candy will do. So then we just found any candy laying around. And then as the tooth fairy, we put it under her pillow. And then my older daughter's totally satisfied with that. My little one now.
Oh, she's specific.
She has been very specific about her candy needs. And she'll write notes like on the bag. Like we put the tooth in a little Ziploc bag. And then she'll write a note.
She writes a note.
Yeah. And so the note will always be like, dear tooth fairy, I don't need money. And then she'll be very specific. She'll say, can I have 2 Airheads? Can I have...
some obscure candy, like a Mamba that they don't sell anywhere.
And then, you know, these teeth always fall out at night because they're eating.
Oh.
And so her tooth falls out at night. So then it's like 9:30, 10 p.m. We have to like go out and go find this obscure candy. And so we're always like braving the streets at night trying to find...
Go to 7-Eleven.
Exactly.
What was it last night?
A Smartie necklace.
What?
So then I just bat signaled in the neighborhood, like, who has Smarties from their Halloween buckets? So luckily, we did not have to go to 7-Eleven.
And you found a necklace.
So no necklace, but she seemed satisfied with just a little pack of Smarties.
Oh, God. And that's not even a good candy.
I know, but so we've totally screwed ourselves. The other one that she always asks for is a $2 bill. And so we'll get this, though. So we've talked her out of the $2 bill because it's easier for us to just find candy than just to always have $2 bills lying around. So then my husband went out last time. She just lost another tooth like 2 weeks ago. He got her Gatorade, which is her favorite thing. And from 7-Eleven, the change from a $5 bill was a $2 bill.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. That is unheard of.
I know. It's weird. The tooth fairy does exist, guys.
We've had 2 teeth also fall out from my son in the last week. And... I have very vague recollections of the Tooth Fairy coming. I don't know what we did. I didn't know you wrote a letter. Like, that's not a thing that I recall doing.
Right. No. Oh, they made this up.
Oh, they made it up.
Because if you don't want money, you got to tell them what you want.
That's right.
And letter form is the best way.
Yeah. And when the tooth fell out, we were kind of panicking because we're like, oh, we don't. What are we supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to write a letter? So then I went online and found like all these examples of a Tooth Fairy receipt. So I just drew one. Cute. But my husband was like, do multiple because the next one is falling out very soon. And you know, you don't want to have to like go back and be like, where's that? How did I write this? What was the lettering I used? So especially as children of immigrants, like those are, you know, certain traditions that we didn't do that you're kind of like making up on the fly. And then, of course, they go and compare notes at school. And that's the worst.
Oh, so other kids at school have a receipt from a Tooth Fairy?
No, but they'll be like, well, how much did you get? I see, yes. You know, that kind of stuff. And one kid who lost his several teeth while he was in Hawaii with his grandparents got like $25.
No.
I was like, well, that's the Hawaiian Tooth Fairy. That's the one that lives here in the Bay Area doesn't have that much money.
No. When our firstborns were all losing their teeth for the first time and we were trying to all decide, I have two girlfriends. One lives in Manhattan Beach and one lives over here in Hillsborough, which is a very wealthy area. Both are very wealthy areas. And they were like, what do you think? Like, is it 20? I think it's 20 here. And I was like, no.
Crazy.
It's so funny that different neighborhoods yes. have different precedents for yes, the right. Tooth Fairy. Because you can't go to school and I got a dollar and exactly. everyone's getting 20.
So the second tooth came out and I was like, I think $2 is appropriate for the second tooth. And my husband's like, that seems pretty lame. Like, okay, we gave five for the first, maybe five for the second.
I see. I definitely got $1 when I was a kid.
That's right. Yes. I remember a dollar, maybe yes. even some coins, like quarters. I don't remember.
Some gilt.
Yeah.
Some gold covered chocolate.
Yeah, from C's.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, we do this to ourselves. You're out there writing receipts. My family's out here braving the streets at night to go get candies. And then what's coming up soon is the elves on the shelf.
Oh, my gosh. I have refused
yes.
to do that.
I know.
You gave us a book, mm-hmm. the Elf on the Shelf book, and I read that to them. But they still don't get that can actualize into real life.
Yes.
So I just feign ignorance. Even when we go to the store, I'm like, what is that? I don't know what that is. Move on.
You literally shove them past
but I'm scared.
Section.
I'm scared that they're going to start talking about this with their friends.
It is one of these things that we do to ourselves. And we have no one to blame but ourselves yes. for the prisons that we create.
Right.
Yeah. So I have those guys coming down the chimney pretty soon. Flying
so what
through
is the concept of an elf on a shelf?
They're here to watch you and make sure you're good. And every night they go back to the North Pole and report you to Santa to tell him if you've been good or bad. And then Santa will decide if you get presents or not.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Is the burden that you have to move it every night?
Yes. Because if they are sitting in the same spot 2 days in a row, it's very suspicious.
Mm.
And so then you've got to make up stories of like, oh, they're so tired. The wind was too rough last night. And so, yeah, every night you're just like frantically running around right before you go to sleep to try to put them somewhere else.
The beauty of that, though, is that it creates tradition and it also keeps up a spirit of the holidays, which I think is really special.
I know. My little one woke up this morning and she found her Smarties and she told my husband, the Tooth Fairy is so magical. You know, and like, that doesn't last forever.
It doesn't. My son, unfortunately, woke up in the middle of the night and ran to our room and said, I got money. And I was like, that was not part of the plan.
You're supposed to sleep woke through the up. Night.
Yeah, there's something very, very sweet and kind of innocent about that.
Yep.
So what's been going on with you?
Other than late night candy searches. I don't, nothing really. I've had this lingering cough. I feel like you. I just can't get over it. But for the last 2 days, and it actually hasn't happened today, I have been smelling kind of like cleaning solvent, almost like a Pine Sol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like smelling my hair. And then my husband's like, do you just need to wash it? And I was like, no. I swear. I thought it was like, maybe I spilled it on my clothes or my pants or something. I just like smell kind of solvent all the time, no matter where I'm sitting. And so I'm like, it's not the surface, it's me, right?
Right.
And then I looked it up online, which you should never do. And they're like, yeah, like that condition of smelling weird things, but it like, it could be anything like You could think things like smell kind of rotten, or you can smell like these cleaning solvents, likely because you have a cold or you have like a sinus infection, or they're like, you know, brain tumor.
Oh, of course.
Right. So I just thought it was really interesting that this cold potentially is making me smell weird but things.
Pine Sol cleaning solvents sounds like it would smell pleasant.
No, it has that kind of like stringent, like cleaning smell. Like it smells chemically.
But better than smelling rotten like trash, food, which
for sure.
I used to have chronic sinus infections. Early on when this happened, I thought, oh, somebody farted or like something's rotting somewhere. And then I realized it was following me any place I went, you know, home, work, on the street. And then I realized it was me and it was the sinus infection. And as a result, I had to get sinus surgery because it was so terrible and it was chronic. But I would rather have a chemical smell.
That's true. So how long did you live with the smell of trash in your face?
Almost a year and a half, 2 years. But it, you know, there is a reason why we become our own WebMD doctors, because I went to the doctor and nobody would believe me, or they would prescribe me antibiotics over and over again. Mm. And I knew something else was going on, and partly because of the system, you know, I was part of an HMO and they didn't want to do the surgery. Oh. So they just prescribed me the meds to kind of put a Band-Aid on it. And then after I had the surgery, it's gone. It's been gone. And as soon as if I smell it, I know I'm about to get a sinus infection. So I do the Neel Med rinse. You know where you do the saline rinse up your nose?
Like a neti pot?
A neti pot, yeah. Uh-huh. That rinses it all out. Okay. So you should do that.
If I get my cleanser smell again, I'll do that.
Oh, so it's not...
It went away today.
Oh, it went away.
So I feel like it's not a brain tumor. But yeah, anyway, that's literally the highlight of my week. Is me thinking I had a brain tumor for a second. I did go to the dermatologist this week because I have a freckle on my lip that I just wanted to get checked out. And she said, I have very good skin.
Oh my God. That is the best compliment you could get.
I know. I have been riding high on a cloud since that day.
So then you stopped washing your face after that. Do you ever do that when someone says like something nice, or, you know, I feel like, oh, I feel skinny. So then I just go and have a bunch of junk food. I'm like, yeah.
The only other thing that I wanted to chat about was I did read over the week some gossip about a white spoon from Culinary Class Wars. Ooh. The older white spoon female chef, her name is Lee Yong-suk. She's kind of the grandma looking one.
Yeah, she's got the glasses.
She kind of looks like a Korean Mrs. Claus. So she got her appearance fee on this show seized because she has had a debt she hasn't repaid since 2010. Oh, and different reports, but it's like up to like $200,000 is like, it's a huge debt. And she never paid the guy back. And then that guy died. And now that guy's son is coming after her to get this debt paid back. I know. So, you know, when we watch these K-dramas and everybody's in debt, it is a true story. Even this grandma looking lovely lady.
Little lady.
Owes hella money to somebody. The only other Korean show news is Physical 100 Season 3 has been greenlit.
I saw that.
And they're doing contestants from all over Asia. So that could be really interesting.
Would you rather watch Physical 100 or another season of Culinary Class Wars?
Ooh, great question. I think I would rather watch Culinary Class Wars. It's fairer to women, I think, than Physical 100. I think there are generally fewer flaws in the setup of Culinary Class Wars in terms of like equity,
right,
than Physical 100, just inherently. But after watching the final of Culinary Class Wars, I think they could make that better next time.
I have thoughts.
Yes. Okay. So with that, let's get into the final two episodes of Culinary Class Wars.
Final round. And I'm like, just use the Korean word.
Are there Korean words for a final round?
Majimak, I guess you could say majimak round. There is probably a word for round, but I don't know it. But there's a final round and it just sounds ridiculous.
We ended episode 10 with Napoli Mafia winning the story of your life dish. So he is sitting this next round out and we have one more competition called Infinite Cooking Hell to choose the last finalist that will go to the finals. Episode 11, you see what the ingredient is for Infinite Cooking Hell. A small mountain of tofu is lowered down from the ceiling. The lights are flashing. Mm-hmm. It's like when we went to Lady Gaga and Lady Gaga comes out of the ceiling.
Ah, yes. That's what you like thought of?
That. Yeah.
I thought of you coming down from the ceiling for your wedding in Korea.
Out of the chandelier.
From a cage. Was it a chandelier? It looked like a cage.
Yes. It was a cage within a chandelier. Yeah. Yes, that's true. You're
similar
right.
Similar apparatus.
Yes. And like that tofu.
Yep.
I was soft and squishy. It's not even different textures of tofu. They gave them straight up firm tofu. That's all they got.
Firm tofu, but also the biggest slabs of tofu I've ever seen.
So unnecessary. So wasteful.
Yes, I know.
Think of all the prisoners coming out of prison who could eat that tofu.
Yeah. I remember researching this because it comes up in Korean drama so much. But when you are released from prison in Korea, you are greeted with a block of tofu, usually from your family.
Right, because you're being reborn.
Yeah, there was something about that, and then also has a lot of protein. Anyway. Whatever.
The challenge is they will get 30-minute windows to cook a tofu dish, and one by one, every round, a chef will get kicked off.
Yeah, either by vote or if you don't finish in time.
Everyone seems to finish in time, so it does one by one.
That is crazy. That's a really insane challenge. A new dish every 30 minutes.
Yes. No rest.
And everyone is like putting their head into their hands. And then Chef Peck goes, this is hell for us too. Like, oh, poor you. You have to eat delicious food for 2 hours straight.
And Napoli Mafia just gets to sit up on his pedestal and watch all this go down.
On his high horse.
There are so many tofu dishes. There's not any way we can go through all of them. There's just too many. So I thought we would just go through some highlights from the Tofu Infinite Hell Challenge. My number one highlight was your man, King of the White Spoons, Chef Choi, was the first to get eliminated.
For the record, not my man. I do not like him, okay? She's being facetious.
I thought you must have been cheering when he
was quite happy. And I was happy that he looked so shocked.
Yes.
I think he was really caught off guard that he would go first.
Yeah. He looks pissed.
Yeah.
He did not look happy.
He almost looked like he was going to cry.
I mean, the fool made mapo tofu. Stop with the mapo tofu.
Stop with mapo tofu.
He tried to make it a twist on it. He made a lamb risotto dish and then kind of threw the mapo tofu on it. I imagine it's very tasty and it definitely felt like the judges thought it tasted good. He got kicked off because
it was a dish that was decorated with a little bit of tofu on top versus it being a tofu dish.
Yep. And I think he really prides himself in being innovative and doing things that others don't do.
Yeah.
And I think we see that it's not necessarily true. Like if you compare him to an Edward Lee.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Right.
So innovation in his mind is just throwing a mapo tofu on lamb.
Yeah. I think for him, innovation is melding different types of cultures and different types of genres together, which I guess could work. But for Edward Lee, he's creating dishes that nobody has ever seen or heard of.
Or thought about.
Yeah.
Chef Choi gets kicked off. He admits in his interview that he was getting cocky. He didn't highlight the tofu. This guy has been sailing through this competition. Mm-hmm. And I think he thought he was a ringer for the final. So maybe he didn't try hard enough. Don't rest on your laurels, I think, is the lesson from Chef Choi.
Yeah. And I think Edward Lee is a very good contrast to him because Edward Lee, despite being a decorated chef, having many years of experience, I think they're maybe similar in age, he busts his ass. You know, he's working not only physically hard, but he's being so creative and
challenging himself.
Challenging himself. I feel like, what does he really have to gain from this? You know, he's already gotten all the laurels. He has multiple restaurants. He has a lot of recognition, but he gives so much of himself. And I felt inspired because a lot of times I would be like, I'm tired.
Yeah. Or let me just do something I've done before.
Yes.
But no, he definitely pushed himself. The other highlight for me was the White Spoon Japanese chef.
Oh, Hong really?
Jun, is that his name? Yeah.
You mean the Japanese chef Chang Ho-jun?
Yes.
Really? Okay. What was it about him? Because he was like, I did not even notice him.
I was surprised he made it through this far.
Ah, right.
Right? He's still there. He's standing past leader of the White Spoons.
Yes. Yeah. And I think actually many of the White Spoons had a real advantage because they didn't cook individual dishes very often, right? So the team challenge where they were doing the meat and seafood.
Yeah. they were following Chef Choi.
Right.
On the restaurant, he was following Chef Choi.
Yes.
So that guy did one one-on-one challenge with a black spoon, and then he didn't have to go to the consolation round with the...
with a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
He did the individual life story dish, I suppose.
Yes, but you know, that wouldn't wow anybody.
Yeah, it didn't. I think he's kind of skated by. He's been good enough.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. He hasn't stood out to me, so I just didn't really notice. And I feel like he was doing a lot of the dishes that he knows and he serves at his restaurant. So I kind of didn't pay much attention to him.
Right. He got this far. He's the second to last white spoon in the competition. The last one is Edward Lee, right? Right. So he actually makes it almost pretty much the furthest, making zero waves and being pretty boring. I think that's a testament to the fact that the black spoons had to work a lot harder right. to get to this Absolutely. Place than the white spoons. And I also thought it was really interesting that at the end of the day, it was three black spoons against one white spoon. Cooking Maniac, Triple Star, Napoli Mafia, and Edward Lee. Those yes. are basically right. the finalists.
Right.
Cooking Maniac makes it to the last three in this infinite cooking hell challenge. But you can see he's lost all his usual mojo
yes.
by the end.
And the judges notice as well.
It's like the light has left him. He's just like right. a husk
well,
of a man.
Well, also, you've been cooking for nearly 2 hours.
And he does everything really extra. Like,
yeah, he's expending so much energy just like
running around.
Yeah, his arms kind of shaking all over the place, his head bobbing.
The way that he even just like tastes on his spoon is like he's got to like walk back and forth and he throws it in the sink. He's just tired. The man is spent. He cries on his exit. Did you cry here? Cry cast?
Yes, I cried here and then again at the end. But I cried because he has this relationship with his mother. And I think we've talked about this enmeshment that Korean men have with their moms. But he's like, my mom is not able to walk really well. So she spends a lot of time just at home watching videos of me cooking.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Very sweet.
And so he wanted to come on the show to give her something to watch.
And he gave her a lot of content because now, after all his antics, he's become very famous. Mm. They're doing a lot of impressions of him on, I guess there's a Korean Saturday Night Live.
Yes, right.
So lots of clips for his mom to watch on TV now. Anything else that was a highlight for you from the tofu challenge?
Well, I was not surprised that it was Triple Star and Edward Lee. Triple Star is no doubt an amazing chef.
Yeah. But you could tell even he was running out of ideas.
He was. Yeah. He was.
And so at the last round, he just couldn't outwit Edward Lee, who did a creme brulee style
with
dessert.
Tofu mm-hmm. and yuja. And I think just the technique that Edward Lee uses is really unique, but the dish is unique as well. Whereas I think Triple Star, it was very much like the same thing he had been doing. He did a lot of fried tofu.
Yeah. And his whole thing is it's executed very well.
Yes. Taste is good. And it did seem that Chef On and Chef Peck were having a bit of a discussion over who should win, because Chef On cares a lot about execution and Chef Peck cares a lot about flavor. I also loved the Kentucky Fried Chicken from Chef Edward.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, of all the tofu dishes, what was the one that you think you wanted to try and also should have won it all?
Gosh, I think looking back at my notes, every single dish of Edward Lee's was so fascinating to me that like I could understand some of the flavor, but I wanted to taste it so badly. I think the fried chicken, the tofu block with the pasta, the noodles in the middle, that looked very good. I also really liked Triple Star's membosha, the sandwich.
I didn't know what a membosha was. I had to look it up.
I thought it was a Chinese thing.
Yeah.
But it's very popular right now where they get, it was very popular for a few years where they would get ground shrimp or they would mash up shrimp and then deep fry it and put it in between two pieces of white bread.
Oh.
And like with like a spicy mayo sauce.
Ooh.
Doesn't sound so good.
Yum.
It's Cantonese. That's what it is.
Oh, got it. Well, that's shameful on me because I am half Canto. I think for me, it was that tofu pasta cheese dish. There was a restaurant out here that used to do the cheese wheel pasta thing.
Oh.
Yeah, they would bring out a huge wheel of Parmesan and then they'd put the hot pasta in and basically melt the cheese off of the wheel. It was so good. So that looked really interesting. Overall, of this competition series, this challenge was what I felt like showcased everyone's abilities best. Like, it was the best challenge, I think, of the whole thing.
Yes.
It really separated the interesting chefs from the more ordinary chefs.
Yes.
And I think, you know, let's be real, the tofu challenge was the real finale. That Napoli Mafia didn't have to do this challenge was a total cop-out. He couldn't have done it. What are you going to do? Tofu pasta, yes, and that's it.
Yeah. But that's, you know, at the same time, that's just the way that these cooking competitions go. If you watch Top Chef, you get immunity. And sometimes it's unfair, but also you cooked an amazing dish, so you kind of get that leverage. But I think you're right. He is sort of a one-trick pony.
Yes.
Right? Because he can do Italian food and especially pastas really well. But we have not seen him do anything outside of that.
Yeah. And I think we were all very wowed by his convenience store dessert. But he didn't do anything that like amazing.
Unique.
He made a tiramisu.
Yeah, he made a tiramisu.
He didn't make a new dessert. And it turns out, yeah,
this is a tiramisu that he serves at his restaurant.
No.
So yeah, I think you're right in that like he's very good at what he does. And that's in and of itself worthy of something. But for this competition,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
But I have thoughts on this whole thing. So now we move on to the final challenge, the finale, where Napoli Mafia's name finally gets revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Kwon Sung-jun. And they have to make a dish that they'll put their name and their reputation on the line for.
Before we get into the actual competition, I do have to say we do see maybe like the top 40 or so competitors that have been kicked off. They're in the rafters here to watch. And King of the White Spoon, Chef Choi, is in a moto leather jacket. That fool showed up in a moto leather jacket. And is like crossing his arms. You know, there's nothing more uncomfortable than watching somebody cross their arms in a leather jacket.
And then it's squeaking every time they move.
You know, that's not calf skin.
Really mad that he's crossing his arms with a leather jacket on.
Like, I understand it, Chef Choi. A leather jacket is the easiest way to elevate an outfit from day to night. But it takes a special person to wear a moto to an event like this. I just couldn't. But also, so fitting
it's
for this.
So,
man.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
No. So that's my rant about the leather jacket.
I also was commenting to my husband. It was funny that, like, everybody who was dressed similarly was clumped a little bit together. Like, their vibes were similar.
Oh.
Like, Cooking Maniac. Mm-hmm. And then a few other guys, I don't know what their names are, but they were all, like, kind of, like, in more hip, trendy clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So they were clustered together. And then you saw people with, like, the nicer coats, a little bit more refined. They were together. And then did you see Jinjin? Remember Jinjin, the Chinese chef?
Yeah.
He wore his sunglasses inside. The entire time.
Why?
Just why? I love that guy.
Those guys, those younger Black Spoon chefs, I do think hang out a lot.
I've
seen
them
on
like
Instagram.
Yeah. And they include Edward Lee.
Okay. Sorry for the diversion. What were you going to say about the challenge?
Well, as they were coming out to do this, I noted there is no way in Korean reality TV hell that they would ever award a Korean American chef to win this challenge.
Yes, for sure.
Nor would they have let the Australian chef or the Italian chef. I'm sorry to say.
No way.
Korean is a very insular culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may bring Edward into the fold, but they're not, he's not one of them.
No, they were not going to let that happen. That was one of my questions was, is it also that they wanted a Black Spoon to win to make it a little bit more shocking and to have the underdog win? I definitely think there's an aspect of that. But yeah, they weren't going to let a non-true Korean win this thing. And I also think Judge Ahn is seeing Edward Lee as competition in the marketplace.
Interesting.
If Edward Lee wins this thing, he's definitely opening a restaurant in Korea. He's definitely coming after the same people that Judge Ahn is serving. So I don't know. At the end of the day, what they were supposed to do was just one final dish. Stake your name on it.
Yeah.
And Edward Lee came out with a dessert. And Napoli Mafia came out with a savory main course.
Yeah. A full main course. But, you know, a filling dish. And it is, I think, risky to do a dessert and call that the dish that you're claiming your reputation on.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely more innovative.
Right.
It was definitely more interesting. It was riskier because he had to make a semifreddo and make it freeze by the time in this time allotted. But at the end of the day, it just can't stand up to a full-blown lamb chop with heart pasta and beetroot, this and that. I think that was a failure of the finale setup.
Yes, right. I think, I mean, not just the finale, but really throughout this entire show, they needed to be better about setting parameters around the challenge.
And I don't think one dish is enough. We've seen one dish from all these guys. Give us a full meal, right? That's why you pay for course meals. It's cohesion.
Yes.
It's how you use the ingredients across all of your courses, right? It's how it ties it all together. We don't ever get to see that. And that, I think, takes a lot of skill and thinking from a chef.
And I feel that in a show like a Top Chef, say, they take a lot of the previous performance and dishes into consideration. Mm-hmm. Whereas just on this one dish, you're going to judge who the winner is. To me, it feels a little bit unbalanced.
It's not the portfolio that they've built over time. It's just the one dish.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the finale just felt like they just limped to the end. So yeah, Napoli Mafia wins with his dish.
You know, he didn't have much of a story to tell with that other than like, oh, the wine is from the year I was born.
Anyway, he did come under criticism afterwards because he was acting very cocky, like in the semifinals and like the way he speaks to Edward Lee.
Yes, I also noted that. And I thought it was a little disrespectful. I thought, was he doing this for show? But, you know, I thought a deeper bow to Edward.
And I think it also was highlighted because Edward, you know, he says some shit talking to Edward Lee and Edward Lee's like, okay, well, let's bring it on.
Yeah.
You know, like he didn't like spar back.
Exactly.
And so it makes Napoli Mafia look extra aggressive.
And prior to that, in the restaurant wars, when Napoli Mafia was picked before Edward Lee was for the like semifinal round, Edward Lee didn't know he was going to get picked, but he had so many kind things to say about Napoli Mafia.
Yes. So this is the controversy. So Napoli Mafia has come under fire for acting cocky. Everyone's bleeding tofu. This guy just gets to sit around. He says, whoever it's going to be, I'm going to kick your ass. So the netizens don't like this trash talking. So he had to make a formal apology.
Jesus.
On his Instagram or wherever. And Edward Lee actually commented on the apology and he's like, don't worry about it. Keep going. Don't let them bring you down. But then, after the Restaurant Wars episode gets aired, of course, the Redditors notice that Edward Lee stops following Napoli Mafia, still follows everybody else.
No.
So they're trying to make it seem like Edward Lee, you know, had so many nice things to say about Napoli Mafia helping him out. And then he watched Restaurant Wars and realized that Napoli Mafia was just using him to get ahead because of his lack of Korean knowledge.
Okay, but does Edward Lee really seem like the type that's gonna be like, I'm gonna unfollow you? Honestly, do half of the, like 90% of the people in this world even care? I mean, I follow people on Instagram that I'm like, why am I following you? But I don't really go out of my way to be like, I'm gonna unfollow. That just seems so petty. It does seem so out of character for Edward, but maybe somebody on a social team did it.
Yeah, either way, I just love it so much. I ate that up.
And I have to fawn over Edward Lee for the last time because I just love him. He's such a cool and kind guy. And one of your friends who knows somebody who knows Edward was saying that he is a really good time. Like apparently he loves to party. And I would love to, maybe we can bring him on here. But I just think he's a special person. I loved what he said about Korean food as he was explaining his dish. He's like, you know, there's always too much food. But then I realized it's about generosity and about love and consideration for others. And he was really embracing his identity. But it made me think about this TikTok that I saw where this guy was comparing how he is with his Asian friends versus his non-Asian friends when they're like splitting the bill or whatever.
I've totally seen this.
Yeah. Where he's like, you want my Jaguar? You can have it. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm paying for this entire bill. And then it's white people. And he's sitting at the table. And he's like, okay, so how many pieces of lettuce did you have? Because we're going to split that, you know, evenly. But how many bites did you take? You know?
It's so true, though.
It's so true, isn't it? It's like even amongst Asian American friends, we're just much more generous. But then when it comes to non-Asian people, you're a lot like, okay, how much? What? Let's split it exactly with the number of people, you know?
It's like, okay, here's my Venmo.
Right.
So who do you think should have won it all? I think the finale should have been Edward Lee and Triple Star.
I would have loved to see Edward Lee and Triple Star.
That would have been
great. And if Triple Star won, I would have been happy about it because Triple Star also showcased a lot more breadth of skill than Napoli did.
Yeah. The only other thing for me was, you know, it was a really lovely montage at the end. We revisit a lot of the chefs yes. we've seen in the past. And everyone at the end is saying, you know, cooking is integral to their lives. People will cook in obscurity, not for the money or fame, but because they love to cook. And then we see Austin King. Yeah. I respect everybody. I respect everybody. Does this guy have that little to say? That they so little to contribute that in this beautiful montage of people reflecting over their lives as chefs, I respect everybody. I respect everybody. This guy.
He has a future as a rapper.
I can't wait to see him pop up in the next reality show yeah. that we cover.
Somebody on TikTok that I follow who is Korean American, lives in Korea, went to his restaurant. Mm-hmm. recently, and he's like, the food was really amazing. So oh. good for him. I think he's trying to establish himself as a chef okay. more so than a teeth model
or a philosopher. Okay, that was it for Culinary Class Wars. 12 episodes, so many dishes. They're definitely going to get a second season. Can't wait for that.
Yes.
Okay, what's next for us? We are trying to bridge our way to Squid Game season 2.
Which is not coming out until like December
26th, I think, after yeah. Christmas. So there is
a drama?
It's so unclear what this is. It's not a romance. It's not a murdery thing. It's just gotten a lot of good feedback for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's called Mr. Plankton.
Yes.
Literally the worst name ever. What does that
what
even mean?
What even is that?
It comes highly recommended. It's also on Netflix. And I think it's only 10 episodes. So it
which, yeah, kind of fits the bill perfectly. That works for us.
I have full faith in this show. We will be back next week. Let's try to figure out what this show is together, guys. Mr. Plankton on Netflix, episodes 1 and 2. Until then, eat your tofu, get your protein, be well, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.